When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hello and welcome to our post-election podcast from The Economist. I'm Anne McElvoy, senior editor. Although the Conservatives do now have a majority in the House of Commons, it's a very small one, and that means that party discipline is going to be key to ensuring that any planned legislation isn't scuppered by even a small group of backseat dissenters. In the British Parliament, it's the so-called whips who are responsible for trying to keep the party driving in the same direction. And while the fragility of the majority is likely to keep them more than usually busy, it will at least add a bit of drama to proceedings in the House. Michael, now Lord Dobbs, is someone who knows very well the dramatic potential to be derived from the inner workings of Parliament. He wrote the best-selling book and later television series House of Cards, on which the recent Netflix version starring Kevin Spacey is based. The original was all about the Machiavellian dealings of Francis Urquhart, a chief whip plotting the demise of the Prime Minister. Michael, I'm not going to suggest that the new chief whip, Mark Harper, is cut from the same cloth as Francis Urquhart, but he is going to have quite a job on his hands, isn't he?
Oh, all chief whips do, but particularly, as you say, in an extraordinary atmosphere here where an unexpected result has produced a government with a small majority, but with a huge workload to do. This is the first time that we've had a Conservative government with a majority in a generation. The last time one was elected was 1992. So there's some bits of history to catch up on here.
And it is a very small majority if we compare it with historically much larger Conservative majorities. Is it a manageable majority? If you were sitting there with the chief whip and you were having a late night glass of whiskey together, do you think he'd be saying, I really worry that I can't control this?
Well, it's not quite as black and white as the figures suggest, because first of all, the opposition isn't unified. The opposition parties are split amongst a large number of different parties. So that means that they're not cohesive and they won't all vote as a bloc. And there are some parties in there, such as the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party, who will probably and conceivably be quite helpful to the Conservatives from time to time. So it's not quite as bare the majority as it looks on paper. And one of the things that is so important in keeping majorities together is showing clear leadership. Now, funnily enough, in the last government, which was a coalition government, David Cameron had a lot of trouble. He had to compromise with his Lib Dem opponents, and a lot of his backbenchers didn't like it and kicked up rough. This time, he will be able to offer a conservative agenda, and I suspect that there will be more coherence and more unity in the party because they're not having to make the compromises that they did before.
One of your character Francis Urquhart's most quoted lines describing his role is, I put a bit of stick about, which was a euphemism really for threatening and blackmailing people into towing the party line. Bit of poetic license involved, I'm sure, but how close to real life is that approach?
Well, there certainly are times when you have to put a bit of stick around, you know, because politics is a rough, tough game. If you're fighting hard for a particular cause, you expect a bit of toughness and roughness from time to time, particularly from the whips.
Give me an example, then. What sort of methods would whips in the British Parliament use to maintain that precious discipline?
Oh, the easiest thing, the most obvious thing, is to say, if you're not going to cooperate with us, we won't cooperate with you, and therefore your political career is dead, or at least is shrunken even to a minor level. That's the most obvious one, but there can be, you know, there are politicians whose private lives can be a little awkward. And if they became more public, their private lives would not sustain their political careers. And therefore, there are the whips have a large number of private confidences, you might even say secrets, which they share with individual MPs. And, of course, they expect a price to be paid at times for sharing those sort of confidences.
So how do they gather that information?
Oh, the information is there. I mean, you know, you can see it. It's there. There are always the telltale signs of somebody, for instance, who's having trouble with the drink. Somebody who's being unreliable for other domestic reasons. But you don't just use that as a stick to beat them into submission. If you're a good whip and a good whip's operation, you will use the whip's operation to support them as well, to actually find resolutions to their problems. I know some MPs who have been sent away to clinics, for instance, where they needed to find some time to resolve their personal problems. And that can, at times, be handled by the whips and get advice from the whips. It is not just a military operation, whereas if you trip over, you are out. It's supposed to be a support operation as well.
Well, a mixture of support and threat, perhaps. And in the American system, which is the setting for the new version of House of Cards, the Netflix one, is very different in a lot of ways. But did you see similarities there in the horse trading, the you scratch my back way of dealing with things?
It's very, very similar in so many ways, because at the end of the day, government is a bit like running a football team. You are a member of a football team. Now, you want to be a star as a politician. You want to be a star of this particular operation. But you know that you can't do everything on your own. You're going to have to compromise. You're going to have to pass the ball. You're going to have to play in a position, sometimes out of position, when your team manager tells you. And you know that the only way that you're going to be able to achieve success is actually with the support and cooperation of others. So politics, right from the start, has to be a matter of compromise. You get to decide what you compromise on. You get to decide when you're going to pass the ball. But it's your particular skill in making those compromises which will see you climb up the ladder and get to be in a position where you can get more of what it is you want, or whether you're going to just become one of life's reserves, sitting on the touchline and cheering others all the time.
Now, I understand that David Cameron is a fan of House of Cards. Is it true he's already got the box set of Series 3?
Well, put it this way. The box set of Series 3, of course, isn't out yet. But can I put it this way? Mr. Cameron is in a rather special position. He loves House of Cards. He chillaxes to House of Cards and one or two other programmes like that. And I thought that he deserved some opportunity after all the rigours of an election campaign to be able to put his feet up and relax. So, I think it's possible. You suggest that he might have a bootlegged copy of House of Cards Series 3. Well, you might say that. I couldn't possibly comment.
But of course, the spirit of Francis Urquhart lives on there. Thank you very much, Michael Dobbs. I'm Anne McElvoy, and you've been listening to a post-election podcast from The Economist.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.